Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. The Bound for Glory series is coming to an end. WWE TV might not be around. And who is being left off TV because they don't have anything for him to do? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark. We are the only podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So someone botched a major thing in the Divas Battle Royale 2 weeks ago. And what happened here, Aaron?
So Kaylin wasn't supposed to win the Divas Battle Royale, and that was kind of a big deal. This is stuff that normally doesn't get leaked out because I'm sure that this has happened in the past. We had talked about one time where John Cena had accidentally eliminated Alex Riley, and it was Riley's fault. And then he had to come back and kind of get in John Cena's face so that way Miz could come in and eliminate him for real. And this is kind of a similar situation, but this has more issues with it. To be the number one contender and to accidentally become the number one contender throws a little bit of a monkey wrench into the storyline. This is not something you would see with the male wrestlers typically for a major storyline like this. It kind of makes me wonder if they should even bother having the Divas on anymore.
I wouldn't say that. I actually enjoy the Divas, and I think they're very entertaining. But, you know, sometimes crap happens. I'd encourage everyone to go to YouTube and check it out. It's actually kind of funny because you can tell that something happened and Kaylin was like, huh? And all of a sudden there was like a brief pause and then her music kicked in, which I thought was kind of funny. So that's kind of a big deal. So anyway, so Christian is being left off TV, but Aaron, why is he being left off TV?
Well, we have some conflicting reports. One of the reports is saying they want to keep him off TV until the Bound for Glory series is done because they don't want it to promote WWE or TNA. So that's one of the reasons.
Okay. Now, I see why they'd want to do that now because it's simple. You don't want your WWE superstar who was just advertised a few weeks ago and then have him come to TNA. And then you also want to have a cooling off, time. You want to have it at least 2 weeks where nothing's going on. So,
yeah, but the other thing too that we've talked about is that creative may not have something for him. That they just there's nothing on the table for Christian, which really boggles my mind because this is a former world heavyweight champion. This is somebody who everybody loves. He gets on the mic and as a face or heel, he makes you love or hate him. And you know, honestly, as a face, to get over that much, it is kind of a tough thing to do. You know, John Cena can do it, and there are haters of his. But Christian can get over as a face, and even as a heel, he still gets over. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, like, I could see this being true. I could see creative not having anything for him. What do you think?
Well, I actually find that funny, because every time I hear creative has nothing for you, I think of Colt Cabana. Him and Marty Del Rosa do a series. You got to check it out. It's on YouTube. It's really hilarious. That's what I think of when they don't have something for Christian, because I'm sorry, I would almost make him CM Punk on SmackDown. Not to CM Punk's thing, but he should be the main focus of the show. He should actually be the champion, and he should actually be almost, best way to put it, the John Cena for SmackDown, because he can do it. I mean, he was the heavyweight champion for, 2 days, and he was also if I'm correct, he was the TNA champion at one point.
NWA.
I'm sorry. NWA at that time.
Yeah.
But still, I'm confused. How can you not have something for him? Now, if he's like has a weird injury that's just, like for instance, if you have a strained muscle or whatever, let him take like a month off. You know, I can see if that's the reason. But if he's healthy and then you're like, we're not just not going to put you on TV, or why don't you just go home for a couple weeks? That's stupid. he can be utilized.
Yeah, I would love to see him and Daniel Bryan feud. I think that would be amazing. You know, especially right now since they're, you know, one's a face, one's a heel. That'd be a great upper mid card feud to have, and it could get both of them over. So I really wish they would do that. But anyway, Andy, the other big news of the week is that WWE TV has been put on the back burner. And so that means all those vignettes that they showed saying that WWE is coming, WWE is coming, WWE TV is coming, it's now all for naught.
Well, it's not completely for naught yet. There's still some hope. What I don't know, this is actually something really interesting. NBC Universal actually considered to actually have WWE take over like half the time on there. Because they could run, they already run Raw and SmackDown on there. They could potentially have it basically all day, you know, like they could have it throughout the week. But they said no, which I think is a mistake because you put yourself out there. Great. You see it works. There's nothing really lost then. No money because they're going to invest a lot of money into this. And I actually, you know what? I'm changing my mind. I think it's dead. I mean, it's a great idea, dude. But if they would have worked with NBC Universal, now I think about it, that's awesome because you could actually have them on NBC Universal, which most people get. And you have your pay-per-views there, except for the main four. People will watch it. Even like friends of ours who don't watch wrestling, I think they would watch it if they knew that, hey, I can watch this for free and this is a pay-per-view. Awesome. I'm going to watch it. And they could do that. But
that, of
now,
course, goes into us talking about free pay-per-views and whatnot. Yeah. I think that this is too little too late. And, you know, we will probably do a full segment on WWE TV again, probably our third or fourth one. But anyway, let's move on to WWE programming, though, for the week, Andy. Biggest news, AJ is losing control of the wrestlers on Raw.
Yep, they don't care. They're not listening to her whatsoever. It's actually kind of weird that they went this way. But, you know, you could almost say that this is good for AJ because I think it's given her a lot of confidence. Maybe she'll wrestle like Vicky or something like that, and somehow Vicky wins, and then Vicky's the GM.
You know, really?
but I'm wondering what they're going to do with this, or is she just going to go nuts on them?
I think she's going to go nuts. I think that proves her a more interesting storyline. And I really think it would be a smart idea for them to put her and Daniel Bryan back together. Yes. I honestly think it would be a smart thing because then they're both crazy. And and I think it would be a good storyline. I think that you have those two back together again. Have them focused on the world heavyweight title, you know, have them focused on Sheamus, you know, have them focused on whoever has the belt and have them win the belt and then have, you know, Daniel Bryan feud with somebody else, you know, have him another face emerge. You know, I think that'd probably be the smart move. But with that said, it's not going to happen. So.
Right. Right. Andy. So what I think the most interesting thing that actually happened on WWE program this week was, well, what happened at the very end of Raw? CM Punk gets into a car. And Paul Heyman sticks his head out.
That's right. I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
He's a Paul Heyman guy. You know who else was Paul Heyman guy? Brock Lesnar.
And he left this company.
Yep. So I find this very interesting that they're doing this because there's potential here. Even though CM Punk doesn't need someone to talk for him, Paul Heyman's the best one because they are trying to turn him heel and they're doing everything. I don't know what else you can do. I really have no idea how you can make CM Punk a heel now because I don't see it. You just don't see it at all. This is the thing.
Although one of the things I think is smart about this is I think that way you can have Punk on TV twice as much, yet twice as less at the same time. Paul Heyman can come out and he can do a little promo about Punk. Punk can come out and do a little promo about himself. Mm-hmm. And then you can get that in fans' minds and you don't feel like you're getting Punk overload. With that said, you don't want to double the amount of time Punk's on TV now. Leave it the same, but that way you don't feel like it's too out of whack. I like Paul Heyman, and I know that one of the things that they had talked about in the past was having him and Punk team up. And I think Paul Heyman, the only reason he stuck around is with that opportunity to do so.
Yeah, it's great. You know, it's great. We'll see Paul Heyman on TV for a little bit. It's nice to see him here and there, not all the time. So The best thing I think that's been going on lately on Raw, and I think you're going to agree with me, the Daniel Bryan and Kane anger management segments, dude. These are hilarious to me. I find this hilarious. Everything about it, the fact they have people in there and they're talking to him. One's Cold Scorpio, I think is the guy's name is. Eh, it doesn't matter. But he's the black dude that Kane beat up. Now, the entire of all these segments, I just couldn't stop laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so stupid, but yet so genius, because Daniel Bryan keeps yelling the no all the time. And like he had a sheet of paper that said no and yes on it, no, and no and really big. Dude, I thought that entire segment was funny. That was honestly, that made my night watching that segment. Seriously. It was good.
So as a wrestling fan, I don't really care about them a whole lot because I feel that Daniel Bryan works best in the ring. I really feel that. However, though, I do feel that this helps get him over, and that is the most important thing. I think that this puts Daniel Bryan in the fans' minds. So younger fans or, you know, fans who, you know, may casually watch it, they're going to look at this and be like, oh, okay, this is that one guy. You know, he's got that beard and, you know, they call him Goat Face or whatever. I think that this will put him in fans' minds. And that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Because Daniel Bryan, while I think he is a tremendous talent, I don't think he's over with most fans. And that is unfortunate. It really is. Because he could do wonders with the WWE. They just have to put him in the proper feuds.
You know who he reminds me of, what they're doing with him? The You Suck chance from Kurt Angle.
Ah.
Because everyone that happened, and then he went ahead and just took it. He was like, yeah, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone still loved him. I think with Daniel Bryan, this thing helped him out. And I'm sorry, I think Kane had a little too much fun. Because I bet you when they stopped, they were busting up laughing. Because some of that stuff just, I don't know, just made me laugh. But anyways, Wade Barrett comes back on SmackDown, and he kicks some butt.
Yeah. This is a huge news because they see Wade Barrett as a future champion. And I think that Wade Barrett could do that too. I think Wade Barrett has the look. He's pretty good in the ring. And so I think that he could do wonders with the talent on SmackDown. I think that him and Sheamus, that's going to be one of their biggest feuds they have probably going into Royal Rumble. They're getting this ready to go. Expect them to probably take over after Del Rio and Sheamus are done. And I cannot wait for that to be done because we're not going to talk about that anymore until it's over. And I think that the smart thing is to move Sheamus on to Wade Barrett and then have Wade Barrett win the title. Honestly, like have Wade Barrett win the title in a very convincing manner.
Where he actually beats him up, because they could have like a street fight or a bar fight, like a bar fight.
Absolutely. And do it in such a way like, you know, they have a match and then Wade Barrett loses. OK, that's fine on a pay-per-view. And then he wants a rematch. And then you have Wade Barrett win that one. You know, have it be a street fight. Have it be something that would be more in Wade Barrett's favor.
When does Dolph cash in?
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to turn Dolph face or do you want to turn him heel?
He works best as a heel.
I think he could get over as a face, though. I think he could.
He could, but I don't want him. I think he's awesome as a heel. Like watching the stuff that he does online. And
just, oh, absolutely.
I find it hilarious.
If you want to turn him face, you have Wade Barrett win the title two pay-per-views from now, okay, from Sheamus. And then you have Dolph Ziggler cash it in as soon as he wins it. And it's a street fight, you know, and so that makes it such a big deal because the fans will be cheering for Dolph Ziggler.
Right.
That's what I would do. But anyway, Andy, let's move on, though, to Damian Sandow. We had talked about him a little bit last week. Well, this week he also takes on Orton and, you know, loses by count out. But he takes on Sheamus. He takes on Orton. Do you think that they have a lot of stock in this guy?
They must if they're doing that with them. I mean, because, of course, we know Sheamus is Triple H's buddy. I find that weird that they're doing this with him, but I love the character. Like, his character is awesome. He comes down, it looks like he's holding a wine glass with the mic, and he's just very casual. He talks a certain way. I find it hilarious. That character is awesome. It reminds me kind of like a Rick Rude-esque type thing. And like also Mr. Perfect, you know, big guy, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And I think the wrestler, I don't know what he, you know, I don't know his backstory, but he's like the perfect one for this. And I'm waiting for like a hair versus hair match with him because I think that would be hilarious. I know that's, and we're talking, you know, a few years down the road, but they could do that, which would be awesome.
Yeah, I think that I definitely agree. Rick Rude, Mr. Perfect, and even a little bit of Randy Savage thrown in there.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
I really like Damian Sandow's character. You know, he's an okay wrestler. He's great on the mic. He is a perfect heel. And I think that, and like I said, you don't push him over the top. You keep it a slow burn, just like Ryback, because if you want Ryback to be big, mm-hmm. slow burn.
Yeah,
Sheamus.
Sandow should have a title way before Ryback even gets a shot.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Sandow should have like the IC title before, way before Ryback gets a shot, like the U.S. title.
But I don't think that he should even have it for until, like, I would say after WrestleMania.
You know what you could actually, is you could give him the TV title and then have him on all the shows.
What TV title? You're talking about creating a TV
title? Let's create a TV title. Let's play some EWR. Or EWR. And then we go ahead and we make the TV title and have him have it. Because it'd be kind of funny.
It would probably be smart. No, I agree. And I think this goes into a larger discussion about how they should have one main title, a second title, and then a third tier title. Because he should definitely own a third tier title. Yeah. It'd be the smart thing for him to do. I think that Sandow, if you do a slow burn with him, unlike Sheamus, because like Sheamus now is definitely, he is a main event guy. Mm-hmm. But after he beat John Cena, it was like, why? He's not a main event guy. He was not a main event guy. It wasn't until he did his face turn and then they put him in bigger feuds. That's when he was a main event guy. Before that, not at all. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to make that mistake with Sandow, with Ryback, with any of these new talents. So that's what I would do. Now, Andy, I the last thing I want to touch on real quick, though, is that David Otunga was in the main event for SmackDown. And that is the funny story of the week. Move on to our sponsors.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You're going to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And make sure you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, and you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Hey, Aaron, did you hear we got a new sponsor?
I did not.
All you have to do, see the ad that's right down there? There's a link there. Click on it. It's for High Spots. Go there, and there's not a discount that you get right this second, but by going there, you'll see tons of awesome wrestling merchandise. So make sure you click on that link going to High Spots. All right, let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. TNA announces all their matches for the pay-per-view tonight. Now, is the pay-per-view the Sunday?
Yeah, it is.
Smart on their part. Gosh, what are they doing all day? Are they playing WWE 13 right now? I mean, is that what they're doing all this entire time? This should have been announced last week.
It should have been announced even before that. But so they talked about a couple of matches. They danced around some of them also beforehand. But obviously the big matches, they went ahead and announced Hardy versus Samoa Joe, James Storm versus Bully Ray, and then, of course, Kaz and Daniels taking on AJ and Angle. That one I'm okay with announcing at last minute, but the rest of them, it doesn't make any sense. Like Hardy and Joe, okay, yeah, the Bound for Glory's matches, I understand, because you have to announce those at the last minute. That's fine. But the rest of the matches, I'm just sitting there going, why? Like Zema Ion taking on Sanjay Dutt, a couple of the other smaller matches. It was Magnus versus RVD, I think, is on there now. And it's like they are thrown together. And TNA had such great things going for them. This, to me, makes this pay-per-view useless. There's no point in watching this pay-per-view because you can watch it on Thursday and figure out exactly what happens. So, honestly, this pay-per-view for me, like if I'm putting a price tag on it beforehand, I'd pay $5 for this.
Oh, well, yeah, because even the whole thing with, Aces and Eights and Aries, or I'm sorry, Luke Gallows versus Austin Aries, that's not that big of a deal to me right now. They should have built it up a lot better than they didn't, so that's their fault. So
yeah, I'm annoyed at this, honestly. I think about buildups, and I think about, like, Money in the Bank, last year, And that one, if you told me it was a $50, $60 pay-per-view, I'd have been like, okay, that's fine. You know, if you told me it was $80 for it, you know, I've been like, yeah, that $80 for that pay-per-view, that's worth it. That is worth it to me.
And the thing is, that entire pay-per-view, bringing back that back up, I rewatched it actually last week. And you don't realize how good the matches were. I mean, it was unreal, dude. Like, the matches were excellent. All of them. And I think the crappier, like, even one of the best matches was Henry versus Sho. And you're just like, this is awesome. But that entire, the way it ended, that, I think, gave WWE some more, you know, it helped them out and advance it. So,
yeah, anyway. But the point I'm making of that was that, you know, I think that the pay-per-view for TNA coming up was poorly executed, you know, going into it. And it could be a great pay-per-view, great matches. You just got to build it up better. But, Andy, let's move on, though, to our weekly topic.
Yes, WWE put out a DVD, which I did get, and you should get yours in the mail any day now, along with your, I think, Madden 13. It's WWE's top 50 finishers. Do you agree with the list, Aaron, first off?
Well, what do you think?
I think that they're wrong, because I go down to number one, and it's the Stunner by Steve Austin.
Yeah.
Where's the Vertebreaker?
Well, okay, they're going to put on their, you know, their best. But
Tiger Bomb 93, come on. I mean...
Well, it's for their stuff and anything that they own. So, for example, like Sting is in there at number 36, and it's with the Scorpion Deathlock, and it's like, no, do the Scorpion Death Drop. That's a better one, you know? But there are a couple that I do want to just point out that I just look at and I go, really? RVD's 5-star Frog Splash is number 32, whereas Eddie Guerrero's Frog Splash is number 13.
And also, if you see Sting is 36, Bret Hart is number 10.
Yeah. Randy Orton, number 11. And back in the 40s, if I'm correct, was where DDP, 41, DDP, Diamond Cutter.
And I'm sorry, the Diamond Cutter should be in the top 10. And
well, here's what I would say about this list. There are moves you can combine. You can say DDP, you can say the Cutter. DDP, Randy Orton, Johnny Ace. There you go. That's easy to do. That's very easy to do. You know, they have Kurt Angle's 25 with the ankle lock. Okay. Kurt Angle, and throw in there, if you want to, Jack Swagger or Ken Shamrock. You know, say that is the finisher itself. Because some finishers are combined. You know, you can combine them. Some people put their own little spin on it, and I understand that. That's why, like, the attitude adjustment is different than a DVD. But... I don't know. I just there are some of these moves I just look at and I'm like, why? Why are they this high? Number 9, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, the Superfly Splash.
That should be in the top 25. I'll give him that.
It is a splash.
But
telling me that is better than the 5-star Frog Splash.
No, the 5-star Frog Splash would be higher. But that's one thing. I mean, Superfly is just one of those things. Like, I can see him being in the top 25 all day. I can see Eddie Guerrero being also in the same thing. The Bear Hug by Bruno, the only reason he's even up there is because they want him to come back. They want him to Hall of Fame. That's the only reason why he's so high. And the Razor's Edge, I will give. I thought the Razor's Edge should have been a little bit down. And I find it funny that they talk about Edge's spear, but not Goldberg's spear.
Yeah, that is... Edge's spear is weak.
Goldberg's was awesome.
Yes. Edge's spear looked like crap compared to Rhino's gore.
Oh, okay? Yeah, the gore, definitely.
Gore. That, and don't get me wrong, you know, I take a look at most of this, you know, the Stunner, I understand, Tombstone Piledriver. Pedigree should not be number 3. I mean, the Rock Bottom is more iconic than the Pedigree.
And I almost say Sweet Chin Music, too, and Hogan's Leg Drop. I mean, actually, the Pedigree should be almost, if you want to do it this way, should be moved to 8, if not higher. In fact, I would think Pedigree would be in the probably a top, not top 10, but it'd be in top 25.
I was very surprised by that. You know, and there are a lot of the moves, I mean, that I look at, and it's like, how did you pick this one over this one? The Swanton, I've always liked the Swanton, but let's face it, you are just hitting the guy with the back of your head.
And where's Billy Kidman's Shooting Star Press?
Yeah.
I mean, they have bonus. They have the stink face, the coast to coast. Oh, I'm sorry. In the bonus section, they do have the Shooting Star Press. My bad. But it's still crap that they don't have it in there. Starship Paint's another one. I won't give the worm. That was entertaining, but it was not a finishing move. Because he never pinned a guy. Everyone knows that.
Oh, no. He pinned a guy with the worm.
He did?
I think once.
Oh, once. Duh.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say about the DVD so far, there's a ton of stuff on there. This box set, I think it's like $24.95. Definitely check it out, weshop.com. If you can get it or go hit Walmart, it's actually kind of worth it to go get. I will say that. If you got, you know, a weekend where you're not doing anything, watch these matches. They're awesome. I mean, hands down, they're awesome.
And it is kind of fun to watch them. I just the downside with WWE putting out these like top 50, you know, whatevers, they always botch it themselves.
Well, see,
they always try to make their guys, their current guys, look bigger than what they are. And I don't see a need for that, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know what we should do? We should dedicate an entire special to our top 50 finishing moves. Real finishing moves by everyone. Doesn't matter.
So, Vertebraker would be your number one.
No, actually,
let's just call it right now.
No, Vertebraker would be in the top three, but there's one that I dig more than anything that I would put as number one. And we'll talk about that when we record our special. We'll do it in a few months. How's that sound?
So sure.
All right. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.